Here we are. This is Real World Radio on air. 3w.realworldradio.fm.
South Durban, chronicle of another serious fire in a heavy polluted area. At the end of March, a fire at the facilities of Transnet Company in the southern area of Durban, South Africa, threatened the population of the area, located in one of the most polluting petrochemical poles of the world and where there have been 60 serious fires since the year 2000, according to figures by the South Durban Community Environmental Alliance. In this case, the fire erupted in the early morning of March 24th and the flames could only be controlled 4 days later. They were highly dangerous chemical products at the facilities. The local inhabitants had to bear with the smoke, which could be seen over 30 kilometers north from the place of the fire, as if it was trying to show the rest of Durban what the inhabitants of the south often suffer. Several local media refer to this as one of the largest fires in South African history. Real World Radio had been present at the end of 2011 in South Durban to participate in a toxic tour to know more about the situation in the area. Back then, we reported, in an area that could be paradise with hills and magnificent beaches and a great natural landscape, the oil industry is leaving its footprint and it is disturbing the life of local communities. Also, factories from other sectors like the paper industry end up creating a polluting cocktail. The fire that took place in March put the reality of South Durban on the spotlight once again, where giant oil transnational corporations such as Anglo-Dutch Shell and British BP, together part of the Sapref consortium, and others such as Engen from Malaysia, to name a few, have wreaked havoc. Real World Radio was present once again in South Durban by the end of March at the headquarters of the South Durban Community Environmental Alliance, a reference for the popular environmental struggle of South Africa and the defense for health. There we interviewed the project officer on development, infrastructure and climate change of the organization, Shanice Gomez, about the new fire and the structural reality in the area. The interview was carried out only a few days after the flames went out. Then we traveled through South Durban again with a large delegation of members of Young Friends of the Earth Africa and Young Friends of the Earth Europe, who coordinated some joint work during these days in Durban.
So Real World Radio has the great pleasure of being in the office of Shanice Gomes. She is the Project Officer of Development, Infrastructure and Climate Change at South Durban Community Environmental Alliance here in Durban. So Shanice, welcome to Real World Radio.
Thank you. Nice to see you all from around the world, being here to hear about the disasters that we face on a daily basis. So it's really a pleasure to have someone showing interest from across the world, and the people here, some battle to show that interest, but we're grateful to have you here today.
Okay, thank you, Shanice. We are aware that there has been almost a scandal in terms of a huge fire that happened last Friday, already a week before. So please, tell us about this fire. Where did it happen? When exactly? And what the people saw about it?
Okay, so this fire happened on the 24th of March, Friday last week. Approximately from 9:30 a.m. it started blazing. So apparently there were workers doing upgrades to the facility and just basically maintaining the structure. And it is said that the workers could have started or initiated the fire, but that is not confirmed as yet. So investigations are still underway to the reason as to why the fire started. So, well, when we found out about this, we got a call to say that there's a fire. So Desmond was on his way out on the freeway, and he saw the blaze. So he contacted us. We contacted the media to let them know there's a huge fire. Can you send people out to capture the story? So we were inside the office, and I was inside the office just waiting for feedback to get information to write a story to say that this is yet another fire in the South Durban, one of many. And we need, you know, people to cover the story. So I sat in the office, not really on the site of the fire, but the fire blazed out of control and was unmanageable. So another thing that raised great concerns was that the facilities, the fire hydrants, had no water, and the pressure systems were literally null. So there was, even if there was water available, there was no pressure to fight off the fire. So that was a major thing. And the property belonged to Transnet Properties. Unfortunately, Transnet has said that they have leased this property out to certain companies such as Summer, your CWT, and your port. So these are all different people that will lease under the Transnet Properties. So Transnet has failed and said that they cannot take a responsibility for the peoples that they've leased this building to. So that's where we find ourselves, but we are still underway with trying to combat who takes responsibility here forth. Is it Transnet Properties, the owner of the building, or does it fall on the liability of the people that have leased the property from Transnet?
Shanice, I wanted to ask you, what do these companies that Transnet mentioned, what do they do there? What is their work?
Okay, their work is basically it's a shed that stores various products for them, such as your polypropylene, your wax. Some had fertilizers, some had ammonia, but as the fire blazed, it blazed in a way that it went to the least flammable properties or chemical products that were stored there, and it didn't reach the highly hazardous chemicals such as your ammonia and your fertilizers. So, for instance, they said that the fire started in the west of the shed and was approaching the north, and the further north would be now where your hazardous products were stored. So the firefighters managed to get it away from that by the way that they combated the fire that day.
Shanice, we know that we are in an area, the South Durban area. It's an area where you have one of the most important petrochemical areas, even in the south of the globe, and of course the biggest in South Africa, as far as I have heard. I would like to ask you, how many days of fire you did have, and what happened with the people? Were people affected?
So we had 3 days from Friday the 24th of March. It blazed Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Even till today, the fire has said to be put out under control, but they are, as a release yesterday when we had a public meeting held in the Bluff, Mr. Enoch, the chief fireman, said that there are still some properties that they're trying to keep under control. So it is something that they say are under control, but for us, it's a constant battle and a hazard for people, because a lot of people have complained about the effects of inhaling that smoke, and a lot of the people of in the Bluff area and the South Durban experience a lot of respiratory diseases regarding your being fence lined to your refineries, to your industries, your chemical companies, which affect people's health. So we need to take into consideration that if there's such a fire, nobody has the rightful place to say that it has no impact on health, because these are the statements that the city has been putting out, that the people that have been on the scene of the fire have said that it has no health impacts. But we are just calling on people who have experienced and had a bad experience with this particular fire to come out and say if it has affected them, or if it's increased or intensified their current conditions with respiratory illnesses. And with that, we urge that people visit the clinics to get checked out to see that. And one of the things we did mention was that when in contact with such a fire, and those type of chemicals that were burning on that day, things such as itchy eyes, coughing, constant coughing, and all of these effects are basically symptoms of that chemical and that fire having a health impact on people.
Okay, Shanice. We also knew that the smoke arrived something around 35 kilometers away from the area. Was it correct?
Yes, that was totally correct. For the first time in the South Durban, it just did not stay in the South Durban. It moved further north. So when we say north, we are talking about our elite areas. Further north, we have our, we can say, rich areas, your Balito, your Umhlanga. The smoke traveled all the way to the north. And what we know as soot, from the black smoke, when that black smoke came down, also pertaining to the rain that we had, that mixed with the rain and fell on people's homes, damaged their pools. So as a result, there was a black coating on people's homes from this black smoke, and also with the rain bringing it down onto the land. So this was a widespread thing. It was just not pertaining to South Durban. It pertained to the whole city of Durban and the direction that it moved in. So you can say it's this is something that is mega, and I think city officials need to take into consideration just the impact of one fire and what it has on the entire Durban city.
Okay, Shanice, yeah, you said that this is one of many fires in this area, unfortunately, and we're going to focus a bit about that just in a minute. But I would like to ask you, what is the South Durban Community Environmental Alliance asking for or saying to the general public or to the government specifically about this fire and what happened in the last days? What do you have to ask for?
Okay, so this is, it's not something new to us. The South Durban has been battling fires from way in 1997. So we as the South Durban have compiled a brief compilation of all the fires and incidents that are related to our industries that surround us. So basically, we over the years, we found that there's been 55 major incidents in the area since 2000, averaging over 3 major incidents per year. And the incidents outlined are just a brief selection of the major ones that have had significant impacts on the surrounding communities. But this is something we've been calling for as an evacuation plan, an emergency response plan. And since 1997, this has not come out. So this is something that the communities of the South Durban have been crying for, because they are in so close proximity to the refineries. And to date, nothing has been established as to now when there is a disaster, what do people do? Do they run out to open spaces? Is there even open spaces? Because the rate that our South Durban area is developing, development takes first preference and government takes first preference for developers over the needs of people. So open spaces are no longer available. So where do people go in the instance of such a fire? We used to formally run to our Clearwood Racecourse. Today, the Clearwood Racecourse has been built to be a logistics park. So in the event of a fire, in the event of an explosion, which the South Durban is not unfamiliar with, but they know that the Clearwood Racecourse was a safe haven because it was a green open space that people could locate where they wouldn't be consumed by the gases and smoke that will infiltrate the complete entire area. So that was a safe haven for us. Now that all of our green spaces are being used and taken up for development, we don't know what to do. So what the people of the South have been urging, and since the last public meeting we had last night with the Bluff community, we stated that we need this plan to be rolled out immediately and have the necessary stakeholders and the people that have the intelligence and the understanding of the importance of an emergency plan, and those that have the necessary skill need to be implemented, and people and their opinions, and people know their area very well. They know where it's safer to run out to compared to a person just saying this is the area but does not know the characteristics of the area nor the people. So we say people and their participation is essential, because they're the ones that know the area more compared to, you know, just a plan on a piece of paper that is served to you and say, okay, do X, Y, and Z. So we are saying that an emergency plan needs to be put in place immediately, and it needs to happen now. We do not want another disaster to gather our heads again and say, oh, there's still no plan. We need a plan immediately.
And Shanice, I was listening to Bobby Peake yesterday, the director of Groundwork, Friends of the Earth South Africa, and he was saying that even the people from the communities and, for example, the civil society organizations are not being able to participate in meetings in which they have something to say related to these issues. The government is not really listening to the people affected.
Mm-hmm. Yes, as I can say, and I agree with that completely, because, and this is a reason why we have not had any progress in this emergency plan. There is a thing called the JOC, the Joint Action Committee. So this is supposed to be a committee that involves all stakeholders, all environmental NGOs, any person that has an interest in the development of an emergency plan, that should be on a committee and on a board where they can decide and make the necessary decisions on behalf of the community that will inform community promptly when there's a disaster. This is what needs to be done. And unfortunately, we've been blocked out of this because, like we say, this JOC committee is it's a group of people that do not want to include the public, that do not want the preference of public members on their board. They want to be the ones to be in control and have that that power over certain decisions that are made without the consent of the community. And we can say this goes back to our apartheid planning, where we can say the National Key Points Act comes into play in this particular emergency plan and surrounding these issues, is that the National Key Point Act prohibits any public member from coming into their facilities. Everything, whatever happens within the facility, for instance, the Island View storage facility, people and their businesses are protected. No person from the public can enter those premises. It's the same thing with information. Information is not clear. Information is not translated to the public. Anything that happens within their facilities is private. So this is a law that was set in place by the government to say that he will do by all means to protect private companies and their interests over the needs and the interests of the people. So this is where we say this is part and parcel of the apartheid plan. Although we in a state of democracy and a time frame of democracy, but we are not free.
I understand, Shanice. I would like to ask you, we already know that the South Durban Community Environmental Alliance has been doing for years by now water and soil testings because we are in a highly polluted area. I wanted to ask you, what happens with the government? What is the government doing in terms of being careful and confirming the levels of pollution here and that they are not, let's say, really bad for the peoples?
That is a big contradiction, because the government, their aim is to say that they've provided everything possible for us, that they work in the interest of the people. But like we say, we have a number of monitoring stations, air monitoring stations, located in the highly polluted areas in the South Durban. We have one at the Settlers Primary School, which was put there because they are fence-lined to the engine refinery. And if I mention specifically the correct information regarding that, that school, that primary school that was engulfed with the pollution from the engine refinery, that let me just put it as simple as that. There was a fire that broke out at Engine Refinery the 10th of October 2011 at 11 a.m. And the school children had to be evacuated from Settlers Primary School. And as a result, droplets of crude oil and soot were found in the air, creating difficulties in breathing, itchy skin and itchy eyes. In addition, the adults at the school, the teachers, were brought into hospitals suffering from dizziness, itchiness, headaches, and sore eyes. And it took over 20 minutes for firemen to bring the fire under control. So the school, less than a kilometer from the refinery fence, and the cause of the fire was still unknown. And like we say, regarding the emergency plan, in place for community should be sirens warning them of such fires. But the fire siren only rang at 3 p.m. that afternoon. The fire started at 11 in the morning and was sounded at 3 p.m. So this is just a clear indication to say that the plan that the city says they have is not a plan that is implemented, and nobody knows of it. So with that being said, we have monitoring stations that were put up specifically even in the settlers' primary school, monitoring stations that have not been recording any data. So pollution can be at its peak and nothing has been recorded. Previously, we used to receive the data from those air monitoring stations. I think for the past 4 years, we've received not a single amount of information to say that, you know what, these were the levels of pollution in the area from this time to this time. So it's a constant battle. So we have to rely on our own air monitoring samples. We have the Bucket Brigade, where we take our own air samples, we send it to the lab, and we get that as a confirmation to say, on this day, we had high levels of sulfur dioxide experienced on the fence line of the engine refinery, and these were the results. So it takes us as an NGO to put the methods in place, because the government itself does not have these monitoring stations up and running and working in the interest of the people. If such an event took place at a primary school and affected so many people, it should be the government's responsibility to make sure that it doesn't happen again. So here we can see the government failing, and the fire that we had on Friday was a prime example. The city, who has the necessary people that deal with air quality, they didn't take an air sample. So it just shows you that the city says it has everything, but when it actually comes to a disaster, they are not there.
Are you also taking air samples in the South Durban Community Environmental Alliance?
Yes, we are.
Because I only said before water and yes, soil samples, but you also have air samples.
Yes, we do. So we rely a lot on our Bucket Brigade. This was something that was initiated, I think, in the year 2000 by Denny Larson, together with Groundwork and the South Durban Community Environmental Alliance. And this was our independent way of saying, okay, government, you take your own air samples and we will compare the stats to show you just how relevant your information is and how well your air monitoring stations work.
Do you have big corporations, transnational corporations operating in this area, Shanice?
Yes, we do. We've got your Mondi, we've got SAPREF, BP, Shell, Shell and BP, we have Engine Refinery, we have Vopak, we have a numerous unlimited list of companies coming up overnight that are contributors to the effects and the health hazards that we face in the South Durban.
Yeah. Okay, Shanice, anything else that you would like to add before we end the interview, or you think it's fine?
Just to say that it's not the first, and it certainly won't be the last. I think when government starts to appropriate the correct information regarding the environment, regarding the people, and putting the needs of the people first, then we can say we are moving in a step that is positive, and we put citizens first before profit, then we can have a community that will benefit benefit the country. When people are well, they can work well, and we can grow as a country. But when we put developers before the people's needs, we can see that communities will just be vanished overnight because of such disasters. And I think it's so important to put the needs of people first and start redirecting where our focus is. Our focus shouldn't be solely on economic development. But if we have a well-functioning country and communities all around the world, we can move in a direction that is positive for everybody.
Okay, it was Shanice Gomes. She's the Project Officer of Development, Infrastructure and Climate Change at South Durban Community Environmental Alliance. Shanice, thank you very much. You have been very kind.
Thank you very much. Thank you.